very moved by what we've been singing this morning and wanting all the words that I've been saying to be true for me. I want to honestly be saying to God, I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you. And we are needy for God. And if we don't feel that, if we don't sense that, we're really missing something. And I would compare it maybe to one of those diseases that we hear about, these people that starve themselves, the anorexia, where they think they don't need the food, and they deprive themselves of food, but meanwhile their bodies are wasting away and dying. And spiritually, we may get to a place where we kind of forget that we really are desperate for God, but if we don't sense that and don't seek Him out fully, then spiritually we begin to waste away. And that sweet hour of prayer, this great, great old hymn, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne, that knowledge, that's very scriptural, that a world that's dragging at us, we have this opportunity to come and kneel before the very throne of God. And He hears what we have to say. He listens to each and every one of us. Sweet hour of prayer, the joy I feel, the bliss I share of those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desire for Thy return. Are our spirits burning for the return of Jesus Christ? Is that part of our daily thinking, that we are burning, our spirits burning for the return of Christ? And since He bids me seek His face, believe His word, trust His grace, I'll cast on Him my every care. My every care. Not the one thing I'm worried about in the moment, not the things that seem too big or too small. Every care. On the shoulders of the one, the only one able to truly bear them. And in fact, has already borne them away. We hold on to things. And it drags us away from the cross. But when we can come fully to the cross and unload those things on Him, oh my, how those every cares of the world can suddenly seem to shrink away, serious as they may be, in the presence of the one who is capable, completely able to see us through all. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we have come into this place this morning, as we have come truly to seek Your face, to hear Your word, we do enter into this place with all kinds of stuff clinging to us, dragging us, if not physically, attempting to drag us spiritually somewhere else, even in this moment. Worries, finances, employment, anger, grief, sorrow, family, neighbors, co-workers, thoughts of things, schedules, to-do lists, thoughts of things that are just dragging away at our spirits, even in this moment. Lord, we bring those to You, knowing that You will take some of those away from us and help us through the others, guiding us through, empowering us and strengthening us through. So in this moment, Lord, I just ask that all that other stuff be pushed aside so we can receive all that You would give us. Your promised Holy Spirit is here in this place. Lord, may we receive all that You would pour into us so that we can handle everything else. Or learn what not to handle. Learn what to let go. Be with us. We know that You love us. Open in our hearts that desperation for You. Lord, thank You so much for sending Your Son into this world. bridge that great gap between us and you. That's the one and only way to return back to you. To be our Messiah. Our Savior. Our salvation. Lord, we thank you for that. I'm going to be reading a little bit out through the Gospels and then going into 1 John, but briefly, this section just before the Lord's Prayer in the book of Luke, it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, and he went on to what we know as the Lord's Prayer. And there's a very important principle there that we need to remember. Praying is a learned behavior. Praying is a learned activity. Praying is something we can be taught about. I know this because Jesus' disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he didn't say, no, that's just second nature. That's something you ought to be able to do. No, he began to teach. Now, this group of his followers probably had been praying since they were young boys. Most Jewish boys went under the tutelage of a rabbi for the first few years of their lives. And they probably spent time in prayer. But they saw Jesus as he had finished praying. And why did they ask that then, if they had been praying? Well, I think it's because their prayers had been something that they had learned, words that they had learned, that had very little effect in their lives, or a little effect that they could see. But here's Jesus, and they knew there was something different about Jesus in a lot of ways, but here's Jesus, who looked like just another guy, right? Just another Jewish man in their presence. But when the wine ran out, he took jugs of water and turned them into wine. He touched blind men, and they began to see. He said words over the lame, and they were able to stand up and walk. He walked on water. They'd seen people in water before. When you jumped out of the boat, you went through it. But Jesus walked on the water. And the one activity they saw that was way different than what they did was the way Jesus prayed. And I think they figured out that there was something about his connection with God. As they were still figuring out who Jesus was, there was something about his connection with God that was different. There was something in that prayer and the way he prayed that was different. And that praying was not just muttering, repeating words that you had heard somewhere in the air to some entity that may or not be hearing it. Jesus taught them and they learned. They saw that when he prayed, his life was different, and the people around him's lives were changed. There's a passage where Jesus faces a group of the leaders from the church as they bring a woman who had been caught in adultery. And they try to trick Jesus, they try to test him. And we know that Jesus responded in a very wise way. And they all left. And then he had the conversation with the woman. But that's at the beginning of a chapter. If you go into the end of the chapter before this, he had been being pushed by these same guys before trying to bully Jesus. And it got late in the evening and it said each went to their own home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives to pray. Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus who was one with the Father, knowing tests were coming, spent the night in prayer. Jesus who descended, or as we saying earlier, condescended, meaning he descended to be with us. Jesus needed time in prayer. Jesus needed that connection with God to be prepared for the things that he had to do and to receive rest and strength from that he had just been doing. He knew this, and he did it. Jesus often found time to be alone to do it. So if Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, needed time alone, significant time alone with the Father. What's that say for us? Can we get by with a few words thrown out before a meal? Or a few words before we go to sleep at night? We shouldn't ignore those things. We should do those things, but we should spend significant time. I mean, does even the phrase make you a little nervous, sweet hour of prayer? But if Jesus needed a night in prayer to prepare for a conversation, what do we need? And what is prayer? That may sound like a silly question. We, like the disciples, we were probably raised up praying. We've been church people. We have talked to God. But have we sensed this connection with God that makes a change in our lives when we pray? Well, this morning is not going to be an exhaustive study of prayer, telling you everything that you need to know, because prayer is a lot bigger than that. But there are a few things that we will talk about, some things that prayer is, some things that prayer is not, and the importance that we spend time, significant time, with our Father. I like to say that God put family structure in place so that we could learn something about our relationship with Him. And you have to be careful with any metaphors. They all fall apart eventually. And we also know that if you're comparing your relationship with your Heavenly Father to the one with your own father, that may fall a little short, because our fathers fell short. I fall short as a father. Any fathers in here know that there are times when we fall short. But we are not modeling for God. God is modeling for us. So that if there's any discrepancies, it's not with God. It's where we have fallen short. But we know as parents how important it is that we have conversation with our children. We know when they get to that certain age where they don't want to have that conversation, how bad that feels. It's frustrating in certain areas, you know, because you want to get them to do something and you want to find out about their schoolwork, but it's also hurtful. Because those who we have loved, who we have nurtured, who we have raised up, suddenly don't seem like they want anything to do with us. Imagine how God feels when His beloved go days, when they need Him so much, and go days without spending time in conversation with Him. I think God gives us a little insight to that pain, so we know what He is sensing, what He is feeling. And I think it does hurt God when we ignore Him. Or when we only go, and we can look back to our relationship with kids, right? When we only go to God when we're in trouble, when we need something. We've not spoken to Him in days, but suddenly now, it's kind of the spiritual equivalent of, you know, my car's out of gas. Can I borrow the keys? God wants, desires to be in conversation with you and with me. He loves us. He sent His Son for us. He wants us to talk. He wants us to listen. And that's a very important component of prayer that we don't discuss very much, the listening component of prayer. When I was little, my mother used to remind me that God gave me one mouth and two ears for a reason. It is important that we listen. And all the things that we hear about communication, whether it be at work or with your spouse or whatever, we hear those elements, right? How important it is to listen. And we also know that the more we communicate with someone, both talking and listening, the better we know what it is that they are saying to us. And I've repeated this before, but it bears repeating. The people that study such things tell us that some 90% of our communication is nonverbal. And so we know that when we spend a great deal of time with someone, we learn to pick up on those nonverbal cues, right? Husband's nod. You know, when sure, the word, it comes out, but you know the tone means no. When a nod of the head, when a turn of the head means it's time to go. You know, we pick up on those things. We see it in our own children. Well, we need to learn to understand that God is indeed omnipresent. He's everywhere in the world, and He is constantly reaching out to us, speaking to us, through other people, through circumstances. But if we don't spend a significant amount of time in communication with Him, we won't learn those nudges and those winks that we are getting from God regularly. God isn't hiding from us. We have not yet completely learned to hear all that He has to say to us in the manner that He speaks. Very few of us hear the audible voice from God, but we can hear from God. God isn't some kind of cosmic trickster, right? He wants us to do something, but He's not going to tell us what it is. The will of God can be known. We can know what God wants us to do, but we have to spend time in communication with Him to hear, to learn, to understand. And when Jesus said, don't pray in public, you know, babbling like the pagans do, He didn't mean don't ever pray in public. But He meant may your prayers be to God, not to others. May your prayers be to God, not for the sake of others. It is good for us to come together and spend time in prayer together. But it's also important that we spend time alone and in prayer. Just like other types of communication, there's various levels. And again, this is repeated. You've probably heard this before, but it bears repeating. It is a lot like spending time with your spouse. There are conversations that are, they're light and airy. They're about the weather. They're about the ball game you watched, about something you saw on television. It's just conversation. It's important to have. But there's also times when you're desperately discussing what to do about a child who is straying or about a family member who is dying. And so you have to have that kind of communication as well. Sometimes it's just the way we share how much we love one another. Not looking for anything in return, but just expressing to the one we love how much we love them. As it is with our spouse, so it is with God. Sometimes we're just talking to God. We're just thanking Him and praising Him for things that are good in our lives. Sometimes we're on our knees because of that same child who's straying or that same loved one who's dying, and we're pouring out our hearts. But like we must do with another person, we must do with God. We must listen to what God has to say. And one way we listen is by spending time in the Bible, which we also call the what?
Word.
The Word of God. This is one way that God speaks to us, by giving us His Word. This is an amazing thing, and you know, we in the United States are so greatly blessed by having the Word of God. I mean, I bet represented here are easily 1,000 Bibles that are around. Easily. And yet there are places in the world where if they get one of these, they gently tear the pages out and pass them around the community. But we have the very Word of God available to us to listen to what God has to say. If you don't know what God wants you to do in life, go read through some of the things that Jesus said to do. Because they apply to us. Just feeding the hungry, helping the poor, visiting the sick. That's for all of us. Start there. That's like the basic instructions that God has for each and every one of us. The very Word of God given to us. Jesus also called the Word. The Holy Spirit also referred to as the Word. Jesus spent that time, much of it chronicled here, so that we would have these stories, this understanding of what Jesus did. So prayer includes Scripture. Not always, not every word, but it includes Scripture. And when do we pray? Well, that's like, when do you talk to someone else? It's the time spent with them, the level of communication that you are having at that moment. But Paul said to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, we know, we can understand, God gave us a mind with which to think, that does not mean 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on our knees with our eyes closed and our hands folded. But just like it is so important to communicate with your spouse whenever you are present with one another, verbally or otherwise, you don't ignore the person in the room with you. God is always present with us. Therefore, we are indeed always aware of His presence, or should always be aware of His presence. And that's what Paul meant by praying without ceasing. It's the ever awareness of being in the presence of God. Never forgetting that we are in the presence of God. That we can always speak a word and He will hear it. Always. We may not always be speaking to Him, but we always can speak to Him at any moment, at any time, any location. We can speak to a God who will hear us. So prayer is speaking to God. That's who we're speaking to. When and where is everywhere and always. And how do we pray? Well, Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer that we shared this morning. And then we hear these words from 1 John chapter 5. I think I'll pick it up in verse 6. This is the one who came by the water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. There are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We can accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which He has given about His Son. Anyone who believes in the Son has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence we have in approaching God. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. Hear that again. This is the confidence, some versions say boldness, we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. This is a mighty thing. This is a powerful thing. That inside the will of God, we can approach Him about anything. He hears and responds. That's key, that we're talking about being in the will of God. You gotta be careful about who you listen to on prayer. There's some of these guys, I don't throw out the baby with the bathwater just because the guy's on TV doesn't make him a bad preacher. But there's some bad stuff there whose focal point is to get your money into their pockets. And they will teach a thing that says, you can pray for anything and God has to respond. And that's simply not true. That is simply untrue. You can't pray outside the will of God and have God change His will for you. God's not a vending machine where if you put in the right amount of money, press the right combination of buttons, then you get whatever you want at the bottom of the machine. But if we are inside the will of God, that he is ready to marshal the entire forces of his creation behind you to work. How do we get into the will of God? Well, by praying. By praying. By communicating. By learning what it is that God wants for us. And then we become aligned with that which God desires to take place in this world. And we become part of a thing much greater than any of us individually are. We become part of something that has been going on since eternity began and will continue into eternity. We become part of the will of God, the active will of God, by making our life part of the activity of God. And prayer is such a key component. Now, we don't have to know that we know what God wants when we pray. Or we might never pray. Sometimes we pray outside His will because we don't know any better. And that's okay. I've stood by many bedsides of someone who's dying and prayed for them to be healed because in the moment, that's what appeared best to me. That's what appeared most compassionate for the family that was there. But it was not in the will of God to raise that person up. But God does not hold against us for what we do not know. But we pray, always attempting to be in the will of God, always willing to accept that what He offers is His pleasing and perfect will, always rejoicing in the outcome, always rejoicing in His response. For the actions of God are always pure and perfect and for our best. God's responses are always for our best. But the more time we spend in prayer, the more time we have, the more capability we have, the more understanding we have of what His will is. Jesus said, all that stuff that you want, you'll get it. Don't worry about it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We need to seek after God with all we have. And that's not done by anything else we decide to do other than following the things He has laid out for us to do, and they begin with prayer. Salvation itself begins with someone who is lost crying out for help, for God to reach down and pull them up out of where they are. Salvation starts with prayer. Discipleship works with prayer as we seek out the will of God and we seek for people to come into our lives and we seek to bring people into our lives so we can help discern the work that God has for them to do. Worship is prayer. When we sing and when we sing songs about God, you know, we're praising God. But when we sing songs to you, how great thou art, we are praying to music. Prayer is at the essence of all that we do. Prayer is like breathing for the Spirit. Without it, we choke off and die. I know that in any ordinary group of people, if we were together for some other reason, and I don't even know who to name, but some celebrity was outside the door, and I said that, who would I say? Who would cause everyone to jump up and run out? You know. But if I said, who's your favorite? Who should I say?
If I said Justin Bieber
was out there, half of us would go, who? But the other half would knock the rest of us over to get out there and see, right? Or if you got a call saying, you know, your favorite singer or your favorite politician, if you have one, was wanting to talk to you on the phone. They want to talk to you. You would drop everything you were doing and you would go take that call. Friends, I'm here to tell you, the creator of the universe, the author of your salvation, is here to talk to you.
Amen.
He's here to be with you. He is present with you. Won't you take that call? Won't you walk out the door? Not only that, his arms are loaded with gifts for you. I'm not talking physical. God is loaded with things He wants you to have, things He wants you to be able to do, understanding that He wants you to have. Won't we take the call? Won't we hear what God has to say? I'm asking everyone to make prayer a significant part of their day. And I'm just asking you to do it for 30 days. Because I believe if you do it for 30 days, you won't stop. I fully believe that. And there's guidelines in this little book that we're going to ask you to pick up. This is not a formula. This is not the only way to do it. This isn't the right way to do it. Just ask you to think of some things each day to help you point yourself toward God. And as you turn toward the other areas of your life, your church, your family, your friends, that you would see them through the eyes of God. Prayer doesn't change who God is. Prayer changes who we are. Prayer changes our vision by allowing us to see things more clearly. I was with two friends earlier this week, and one had to go to a particularly difficult meeting with someone, a particularly difficult person. And the third friend, as we prayed that they would be able to constantly see the person across the table as who they really were, a beloved child of God. That no matter what came out of their mouth, that what they would see and hear was the vision of and the words of a beloved child of God and respond to them in that manner. And prayer changes who you are for the better because it puts you in touch with the greater reality. It lets you see truth in a way you've never seen it before. We rely a lot on our senses, but our senses are dulled by the world. We see the world much like those of us who need visual correction and take it out, take our lenses out, take our glasses off, and we don't see things well. But we rely on that. Prayer lets us see other people, lets us see the world, lets us see our God clearly. Pray. Pray. Talk to the one who wants to talk to you. Listen to the one that wants to talk to you. Let us pray. Father God, you hear prayer. You answer prayer. You speak as we pray. Lord, let us speak and let us listen. We thank you for answered prayer here this morning. Because in so many ways, this gathering is an answer to prayer. In so many ways, we have seen and received you here this morning. Let us not lose hold of that when we leave. Regardless of what the rest of our day looks like, let us not lose hold of the fact that the great God Jehovah, you, Lord, have your ear inclined to us. In Jesus' name, amen.